All right, welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Second half of the Wednesday edition of the program begins. We're in Surprise, Arizona. At least I am. Rudy Salazar is tanking our trivia efforts last night over at Booty's. Good food, good people at Booty's. I'll tell you that. But Rudy hosed us. He hosed us. Said he knew Harry Potter. Said he'd read all 7 books. Said trust him. Wager all our points.
Oh, boy.
He hosed us. Our coverage brought to you by Sprint and Velocity Academy, velocityacademy.org, to get your coaching, your hitting and pitching lessons, all of the best technologies available. You can truly, just like the big leaguers, find out what is the spin rate on your fastball, what kind of break does your curveball have, is your exit velocity being maximized. It is all at Velocity Academy right there in Belton. Go to velocityacademy.org to get your reservation made right now or ask any questions. Thanks to Sprint for all their great wireless devices. Got us working just like we were at home and in the office. So we always appreciate the great technologies from Sprint that allow us to do our jobs. Frank Bull is with us. Frank, your thoughts on Rudy bombing in the trivia? I like talking about this when he's not around, by the way.
Yeah, right.
He's not here.
Good.
So let's crap on this guy while we can.
Okay, well, what were the other possible categories besides Harry Potter that he passed on and said, I got this?
Right, so it's not my typical trivia, like, right,
You do sports.
Yeah, I do the church trivia, we do the couples trivia, and I'm there just for the sports questions. You know, I can hang in a little bit on movies. I got almost nothing on music.
Current events, you're useless.
Useless.
As we find out every Wednesday.
Stone cold useless on current
now.
Events.
Okay.
And so... You know, we're playing as me and Rudy and a guy I know out here in Phoenix. And we're playing, you know, I got like the Barney Miller question,
oh,
right? Like what Hal Linden played in which TV show? And it's like Starsky and Hutch. And, you know, and I'm like, no. And I'm like, okay, it's Barney. I go, I think it's Barney Miller. Then they start putting up the options.
Right.
And most of the time you had multiple choice, but then they would also like, at the end of every round, you had one that you had to write in.
Write down, yeah. That breaks the ties a lot of times.
Yeah, then the last round, you had to write all the answers down. There was no multiple choice, and you have to run your answer up there and everything. And so, like, I'd be like, okay, I think that's Barney Miller. And Barney Miller comes up, and I'm like, okay. They're like, these two younger guys, Rudy and this other young guy, are like,
who?
Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, what do you care? Right? This isn't one where you have to wager. Yeah, we don't have to wager points. Like, you two idiots don't know. I've got the gray hair and the gut that tell you I'm old. So write it down, okay? And so they'd write it down. Of course, I was right. And you know, it just happened to be in my wheelhouse. We get to this. So it's a whole variety of things. There were some sports ones. There's some geography. Rudy's no geographer, let me tell you that. Which one of these states does not border Missouri? What are the odds we're in Arizona and we get a question about Missouri?
No kidding.
And it's like, which one of these states doesn't border Missouri? And he's like, Tennessee? And I'm like, no, it's not Tennessee. And I'm like, it's Mississippi. And literally I get, are you sure? Yes. Yes, you idiots. I'm sure. I laid this down. I go, Missouri and Tennessee are the only two states that border 8 states. And they border each other.
Yes.
And by the way, have you ever driven to Memphis? Like, it's not that far.
No.
I mean, like, you know, and he's like, well, I go, Mississippi is, there's ocean. Do you think Missouri is close enough to be touching a state that touches ocean? I had to lobby on these different things. So anyway, we get to the Harry Potter, and I go, dude, I'm out. He's like, well, you know, blah, blah. I said, well, do you know Harry Potter? He goes, I've read all 7 books.
Yeah, wow.
I said, okay. He goes, yeah, this is it. Trust me. Here we go. No, he was wrong. He's wrong. Lost all our points. We're back.
Do you remember
the
question? You probably don't remember the question, do
you? Oh, and it was, you know,
some
what realm?
Thing. Yeah.
What realm or something or whatever, you know, I'll let him try to explain. He keeps going, our logic was sound. Our logic was sound. He goes, I stand by it. I go, well, you're an idiot then. because you should not stand by it. You should learn not to risk it. It's what I told you. We're not going to risk any points unless we're like 90% sure.
So,
but he was.
So overall, where did you finish in the hierarchy of the game?
Where
you, were you last or were you second?
So that bombed us back down to last.
Okay.
And because our team name started with a W, it was like working in proximity or something. I don't know what some clever name this other guy came up with. And so I'm like, okay, fine, let's go. And so we're at the bottom. Every time we're tied, we're at the bottom because they list it alphabetically. And so that bounced us all the way to last. And we were on the second screen. And our goal became to just not be on the second screen. Like initially we wanted to be, there are these riders for the Rangers that like the Andy, the owner said, listen, they come in here and steamroll everybody. We're like, screw it. Let's go. We can beat them. And first of all, there's like 10 of them.
Oh yeah. And they put their heads together. Somebody's buying into something about everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And and then Jeff Flanagan walks in.
Oh boy.
And we're like, oh, well maybe we'll see if Flanagan wants to come sit down. And he makes a beeline for that table as well. Conspiring with the enemy, Jeff Flanagan was, because you know all the baseball writers are buddies.
He knows a winner,
yeah. And so he goes over there, and so then our goal adjusted after Rudy crushed us. He just walked over. Our goal adjusted to let's just get off the second screen.
Yes,
let's try to get back up onto the big screen, and we did manage to do that. So I don't know, we probably finished like 10th out of 20 or something.
Oh wow, they had that many people. That place must be a pretty big place. Big place.
It's not too big, but like everybody was there. Just about everybody there was playing.
Yes, I mean, right. I got you. They knew the night. The night was trivia night. Yeah. Okay.
But listen, I do want to throw love to those guys because the Wings were fantastic. And he's from Rochester, and that's where people know Wings. And they won. They were the 2017. They didn't go in 18, but in 2017 they went to Buffalo. What did he tell us? 34,000 people competing
for the
and
Wings.
They won.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they won. It was out on the minor league ballpark field, so it kind of struck me. And around the stadium, they have a wing festival, kind of like we have the American Royal Barbecue.
Yeah.
And they got down to the final three, and they brought the three out to the middle of the baseball field.
Wow.
And they had a challenge, and they won it. They're the 2017 National Wing Champions.
Huh.
And I'll tell you what, they got a lot of different sauces. We're going back. We're going back today.
Sounds like
it. Yeah, we loved it. They got boneless and bone-in and great service, cold beer, and TVs everywhere where we can watch the games. So it's a joint, right?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it's not tavern.
I like joints.
It's not tavern. Yeah. We went different restaurants at different times in our lives, right?
That's right.
You know, it's more of a joint where tavern is like stylish, cool, hip. You know, this is a joint.
Like that.
And but it was good. I highly recommend if you're coming out here for spring training, go to Booty's and let them know. Oh, and by the way, they said anybody mentions that they heard on 810 that they're out here for the Royals spring training, what do you say, 10% off? I guess what it was.
Okay. Well, nice. It's off. It's something off of their bill.
It is.
Whatever it is, it is.
It's at least 10.
Cool.
It might have been more.
That's great.
Say you're here with the Royals. Right. I don't know. Did he say working with? Or Royals or Rangers.
By the way, I hear Salad Bar. Have him come to the mic and tell us what the Harry Potter question was. As a Harry Potter nerd, I want to embarrass him.
Yes.
Yeah, get on. They want to know what the Harry Potter question was
that you missed
us on. All right, I turned him on. So how'd you just kill us?
So it was, what are the seven of Lord Voldemort's Horcruxes did Harry Potter destroy first?
Wait a minute, hang on.
It was Tom's diary. It was Riddle's diary.
See, I know this now, and
idiot.
I can remember it now.
Idiot.
I remember the chapter
what
of the book.
What is going on?
But I couldn't remember at the time.
Pressure. See, Rudy,
the logic was
it's
sound.
All about pressure.
What did you guess, Rudy? Let me hear this, Jim.
So here was my logic. Okay. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. I'm like, okay, seven? There's seven books. Maybe each book is one. So I guess Sorcerer's Stone. It's at least an object.
Wow.
I feel like the logic's at least solid.
Wow. He is seriously.
I'm just wrong.
Yes,
you know,
you were.
Like, listen, you know me. I accept defeat with grace at all times.
You accept that like nobody I've ever met.
I never, you know, pick at somebody when they make a mistake.
Nope.
You know how
never.
I am.
Never. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know how I am.
Right.
For sure.
But I have been listening to Rudy be like, the logic was sound.
But it was.
For like, for
I stand by my reasoning.
For more than half a day, this morning, we're getting breakfast, and I'm like, God, man, just, I don't know. Somehow it came up, and he's like, the logic was sound. That my logic was, I stand by it. I'm like,
I do.
You can't stand by it because you lost.
This is my Patrick Mahomes left-handed pass. And you know what? This time I just got picked off. But next time I might not.
Listen, he learned nothing because we get to the last one. And we all agreed, all right, we can't win. The nerds over in the corner,
yeah,
the nerdy riders, are going to win. They were steamrolling everybody again. Even though at one point we had them down. Until Rudy killed us. And we're like, okay, our new goal, just get on the first screen. Mm-hmm. And we get to the end, and this dipwad's wanting to risk it all on something we had no idea on the answer again.
Yeah. Go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
I think I think going for it at 4th and 10 and your own 10 in a tie game in the final 2 minutes,
yeah,
is a great idea.
Yeah, go. Go.
Hey, go for it.
Go
if
for
you
it.
Want to win, you got to take chances sometimes.
You do. You really do.
We couldn't win.
I'm not playing for second to last. I'm playing for positioning. I want the highest seed I can
get.
But
bold strategy, Cotton.
What was that subject, may I ask?
I believe it was, what was the first state after the original union to join the United States?
Yes. Yeah, it was. What was the first state after the 13 colonies?
Yeah, first 13.
Join. Do you guys know?
I do not.
I know. I'm willing to bet $300 million on it.
But this is the point. All right, so my buddy out here in Arizona says, I think it's this, right, which we'll get to in a minute. Mm-hmm. I said, you think or you know? And he's like, well, I think that's it. I go, all right, I have no idea. All right, I have no idea. So we're going to pass. I don't know. Let's. Rudy,
my guess was Oregon, personally.
Good Lord. They hadn't even been there yet.
And so, and I've already detailed your incredible geography ability as well.
Going to that, I just didn't see Mississippi on the answer, so Tennessee just was it just stuck out.
Yeah, Tennessee. Right. So anyway, I'm like, no, we're not going to do it. And he's like, go big or go home. You got to go. I go, we can't win. We only have 110 points to wager. They have 380. We can't get there. We don't have enough points.
Unless they all get it wrong.
No, but like you could only wager your points in that round. And they had 240 points before that round started. So
their worst
would be 240.
I take it back. You are correct about
that. Our best would be 220. I'm like, we cannot win.
Good concession, Rudy.
Yeah, that was a good
idea.
So
then let's just not be on the dummy board on the second screen. Let's protect, because you know everybody else is going to wager a bunch that thinks they can win. Mm-hmm. A bunch of them will miss it, and they'll end up, and we'll be on the first screen and not look like morons.
My counterargument to that is nobody knew what our team name was, so we could just stand up and root as if we are one of the teams at the top.
Now, I will say this about the rest. So what we would do is, as the lead would change,
yes.
When they would put the score up, and these guys were all embarrassed every time I did this.
Fake news.
They'd put the score up, whatever the team name was, last week's lunch or something. Whoever was in first place, I would go, last week's lunch, yeah, up top, right? And we would high-five like we were that team.
The writers were fake news, and they were at the top a lot.
They were awesome. Fake news, and they finally took control of the third
name.
Or fourth
that
round.
Is, yeah. Oh, great.
And that so name. They go to the top, and everybody, I hadn't really paid attention, but they go to the top first time they're there, and it shows fake news. First place I jump up, I'm like, fake news, yeah, up top. And they wheeled around so pissed. Like, what are you doing? We're fake news. We want to know we're winning over here.
That was literally fake news.
Yes, there you go. That's perfect.
We actually were the fake news.
You're the fake news.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. That sounded like fun. That sounds like fun.
It was.
It was a good time.
Of course, Rudy got thrown under the bus. So that's where it goes.
By the way, it's Vermont.
We know.
See, I know that now.
We know that.
Yeah.
And our buddy,
he
thought it was Vermont. So that's the other moral of the story, is that Rudy wanted to go ahead and roll it all. And we would have put Vermont down, and we would have had it right, and then we would have finished.
Moved up the boards a couple spots.
Right.
Up a few spots, but we
I'm
played
still
it
mad
safe.
At Rudy. Tom Wolf's diary is a layup, you doofus.
I know. It really hurts because I can picture the chapter now even. I remember exactly how the chapter plays out. It hurts.
Is it really a layup?
That one hurts.
For who?
Normal people
Potter
who
nerds.
Aren't
Yeah,
nerds.
For like, I mean, just for anybody me and Rob's age.
My daughter, Lauren.
Harry Potter was our thing growing up.
Would she?
Oh, God, yeah, like that. She read every book, but when they brought a new book out, she'd reread all the books before the new book. So she'll catch herself up.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we really could have used Curtis. There was music questions that I think Curtis would have hammered home. We could have used Lebo. He's good on the music.
He's good on music.
Yeah, they're adamant about the no phone thing. So,
You can't hold it up. You can't hold the phone up. What do they call that? What's that app called?
Spotify or
You hold the app.
Shazam.
Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam, and it tells you who the artist is and what the song is.
Yeah. So
I know who it is. It's the Stan. Yeah.
It's we had a good time, but it could have been a lot better if Rudy wasn't an ass. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Rudy, Rudy, you will notice Seren never had a wrong answer. Correct?
Never. Oh, never. Never.
Never. Never had
not that. No. Not that when he stepped out to go on with Brett Porter, we went for like 8 for 8 in the multiple choice parts. No.
Because that's when the Missouri question was, and I had to tell you which one it was from outside the glass. I'm out doing the interview with Brad about spring training,
and our screaming defense, Missouri,
looking through the window.
Your friend knew. Like we had it. We had it. We were all right.
Yeah. God. Trust me. I shudder to think where that squad would have been if not for me. I shudder to think where they would have been. Clearly,
the best part.
You got the pretty woman question wrong.
I did. Do you know what her name was? What the character's name was?
No.
Are you asking me?
No, I'm asking Brandon.
No, I do not know.
I do not.
Yeah, it was multiple choice, and I got it wrong. So, But it didn't cost us points. That's the – you're like – I'll never say I'm the greatest trivia guy ever, but on the strategy of betting, it's me. You look at me on that one.
Pretty sure her name was first name the, last name Hooker.
I'm looking it
or
up.
Was it Thea Hooker?
Not Vivian wrong. Ward.
Vivian Ward, there you go.
I said something else. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's clearly a character from another movie, and I botched it. But we lost no points. Rudy lost hard-earned points.
Points that I had earned, though, in my defense. I had gotten a couple of those questions right. I'll throw my points away.
Rudy, you'll learn. Don't argue. It was your fault. It was all you. You owe him dinner, lunch, and breakfast or whatever, and that's just move on.
I'll stand by my logic.
Just
still.
Move on.
And I'll say this is the time to do it since you're going to put an expense report in anyway, so you should probably pay up now. We'll take a break. More with Frank Bull next here in the program.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer.
That's right.
Who was the only NBA player to average 10 rebounds a game 15 times?
I'm going to try Moses Malone.
Nope.
Wilt.
He had 14. Wilt had 14.
Russell.
Russell had 13.
Jeez. Mailman.
Karl Malone. He's down the list, 10.
Wow. Sir Charles.
That's your man.
Charles Barkley, there you go.
15. And it was the last. He didn't get it his rookie year. Then he averaged 10 rebounds a game every year for the rest of his career.
Gosh. He didn't get it his rookie year because he played alongside Moses Malone.
Yeah, 85. He only averaged 8.7 or 8.6.
Yeah, he played next to Moses Malone, who was averaging the 15, 16. Yeah. A game at the time, and so they were.
Yeah, then Malone went back to Washington, and he took over and was phenomenal.
Yeah, one of the most. I don't. What the hell happened there? How did they not keep Moses Malone and Barkley?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the number one pick as well, and could have drafted Brad Doherty, and played all three of them up front, and they traded that for Roy Hinson.
Good move.
And then the Sixers began to suck, and you can now see why. Stupid moves. That's why. Frank Bull is with us. Of course, the godfather of Kansas City sports. We'll get some Frank opinions here in a minute. Frank, what do you think about this idea of all speed for the Royals and the approach that they're taking here? I kind of like it. I think it's kind of crafty. I think everybody in baseball, this is them zigging while baseball is zagging. I get that the stolen base has been one of the more overrated statistics over the history of this game. And so now nobody runs anymore. But I think now when the Royals come to town, you got all these pitchers that have gotten real comfortable with the fact that nobody runs. And here's going to come a team where everybody's going and everybody's taking off. And I like this. I like this idea. I think it's, you know, maybe what you need to do in small market baseball, and maybe they can capitalize on teams. You know, catchers don't get as much, you know, reps at pop-ups, and, you know, their pop-up times to get up and get the ball down to second base, and second baseman and shortstops aren't having to cover it as much, that maybe they can create some mistakes out there and make it work. I like it. Do you?
Yeah, because they really have no other choice because of the makeup of their team. They are not one of these teams that has a bomber. Maybe O'Hearn or, you know, Dozier, somebody will come through. And
Soler.
Yes, Soler, maybe, if he can stay healthy, will come through and hit. The deal is, number one, in order to run, you got to get on base. Now, I know Witt can hit. Okay, I'm not worried about Witt getting there. But, you know, if you're thinking about Hamilton, he is a guy that, you know, he's had his ups and downs in the league about getting on base and about hitting. The guy can really run. There's no doubt about that. And I think Mondesi will be fine about getting on. And I think it's great for them to try to put the pressure on other teams, like you said, not just pitchers, but even the you know, the position players are out there waiting for a guys to strike out or hit a home run. They're not out there fielding the ball off a team like they're going to have to field the ball off the Kansas City Royals. And I think that they can use their speed, do what they want. But, you know, Gore's going to be a substitute late in the game to run. But, again, you got to get on base in order for you to run and put this whole thing in motion. And I think that's what they're relying on, these guys to be able to get on base and go. And I think it's great. This is back to the 13, 14, 15 Royals. This is what they were all about. This is how they tried to win. This is how they won baseball games, went to two World Series and won one.
How in the world can someone with Billy Hamilton's speed have a .298 career on base percentage?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, and what's amazing is look at his minor leagues. Go take a look at his minor leagues, and he actually was like .350. Yeah. You know, I mean, he looked like, oh my God, you know, Ricky Henderson minus the power is here. This guy's going to come out. He was stealing 100. What did he steal? 150, 160 in one season in the minor leagues. And they don't play 162 in the minor leagues. They play like 120 or something. And so he was stealing more than a base a game one year in the minor leagues. He was getting on base. He never hit for power like Ricky did, but it was like, this is Ricky Henderson. This guy's going to be incredible. I mean, I remember every rotisserie team out there was drooling over this kid coming up, and he just never got on base enough. And, you know, it's one of the things I plan on talking to Ned about, like, can you get him to get on base better? And, you know, I'm sure Ned's going to say yes. I'll listen to the answer if I think he actually believes what he's saying or he's just giving us a line. But, you know, I think it's...
Well, the issue I have with Hamilton, not just that he didn't get on base, but, I mean, the last two seasons, his on-base average has been .299, and he's had 133 and 132 strikeouts. I mean, so he's not hitting with power.
Right.
He's not getting on base, and he's striking out almost once a game.
That's the scariest part for him, or his strikeouts.
Yeah.
Because you're not even putting the ball in play to give yourself a chance to use your speed. You know, if you're striking out that much, you're not even
right.
You're not putting any pressure on anybody.
Just make contact and
yes,
try to beat
anything.
It out.
Yeah.
I would think if that 130 strikeouts becomes 95 strikeouts, I bet that .299 will go up.
Oh, go way up. Yeah, absolutely.
How could it not?
Sure.
Yeah. No, I think. Listen, I think the Royals feel like, and I've talked to Ned a little bit about Billy Hamilton out here, and I think they feel like they will do a better job of coaching him to play to his strengths. And whether they can do that or not, you know, I just feel like a guy who's got that kind of speed means he can move not just his feet but his hands too with incredible quickness, which is so much of being a good hitter. And, you know, I think it's a completely worthwhile $5 million to spend. And to me, if I had a frustration with the contract, it's that there's not a club option on the back end, right? That if you fix this guy, you got no way to hold him.
Yeah, right.
You know, if all of a sudden, like, he does come out there and he's a .350 on base and he steals 120 bases, you know, he's going to be super valuable. Now, the Royals will have him, and somewhere during the year they can try to say, hey, listen, we want to give you a 3-year deal and try to extend him out. But My frustration with the contract is that, you know, whatever it would have taken, I mean, I'm sure he didn't want it. He's like, listen, I'll do a prove it $5 million deal, and then when I prove it, I want to be able to get out. I mean, maybe he was adamant. He's at least here, and you got him here, and you got a chance to fix him, and if you fix him, you're going to have first shot at trying to get him signed long term. So I do appreciate, and I give great kudos to the Royals for getting that done, but I actually think it can work and work really well. And if it does, I think we're all going to want to see him signed beyond this year. And so, listen, he's well past 1,500 at-bats. So it's not like, you know, well, he hasn't, you know, gotten that magic 1,500 at-bats. But I think this is an organization. I think in Cincinnati, they clearly were tired of waiting on him. They also play in a bandbox ballpark where, you know, get on base and we'll hit a homer is much more their mindset of how they do things. And so I don't know that they appreciated what he did as a smaller center field. And so I can see where they got tired, and it's just, hey, the Reds need to go another direction, and he needs to go another direction. Kansas City's perfect for him. I mean, the ballpark's perfect.
Yeah.
The mindset's perfect.
Big outfield.
The time for the team is perfect. We have talked about, we don't see the you know, since Bubba Starling has not, you know, come to fruition, they don't have the center fielder that looks like the next, you know, Lorenzo Cain. Sitting there, they got some candidates, right? They've acquired some guys that maybe can do it, but this is the perfect opportunity for him. So, you know, if it's going to work, he's got the change of scenery and everything you could want around him, an organization that's going to green light him on running, and I hope it works because he's a fun player to watch.
Yeah, the only thing for me is the big red flag is that, you know, Cincinnati saw him every day, day in, day out, you know what I mean? They saw him every day, yep. And they just said, you know what? This guy, this just isn't working. And then again, change of scenery, change of, you know, hitting coach, hitting instructor, whatever they're trying to do with him down there and who's working with him or whatever. That might be it. It just might, the light could come on. And if it does, they got themselves a hell of a player.
The Royals do have a track record of making this work, though.
Yes, they do.
You know, they've gone out, gotten outfielders, and really turned their careers around. The guy they got from the Braves, the right fielder.
Jeff Francoeur?
Jeff Francoeur had one big year for him. And Melky Cabrera was really not thought to be much. I mean, they gave him almost nothing to come here. And he ends up being, you know, like a 300 hitting, 15 to 20 homer, 40 double guy. Like that year, Gordon broke out, Cabrera hit, and Francoeur hit. Yeah. And, like, didn't all three of them have 40 doubles?
Yep. First outfield ever to have three guys with 40 doubles.
And you know, they were all three guys that were considered dead at one point. And they turned them all around. Now, Francoeur's didn't stick. It ended up just being that one year. But Melky Cabrera, and I know he got popped for steroids, but Melky Cabrera ended up being a good hitter the rest of the way. So they clearly – you know, found the untapped potential and tapped it, you know, here. So there's a history of them finding guys like this and making it go.
Yeah, it'd be great if they could find the key for Salar, too. I mean, now he's been injured more than he has not been able to go to plate and, you know, hit or not hit or whatever. But if that guy could stay healthy and he could produce some power, that would really help this team out a lot. Yeah. Really help.
I agree.
Out.
Yeah. You have him and O'Hearn
in
the middle.
And Dozier. Playing, you know, I mean, they think they can get some power from him as well. So,
and it'd be a lot easier if he's here for when the Khalil Lees and the other prospects that are down there, the MJ Melendezes, when they come up, if they don't have to be the man right away.
Oh, like,
I think Hosmer and Moustakas' transition to the big leagues could have been a lot easier. They had to come up and kind of be Zach Greinke, like, here, save us, and that's hard. And I think it's a lot easier to come in and have Mark McGwire hitting and take off and hit really well right away if you're Albert Pujols hitting in front of Mark McGwire, as opposed to Hosmer and Moose come up and they're like, there you are, 3-4, get it done, boys.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so yeah. it'll be nice if these guys can be productive so that it helps out for developing the next wave of talent that's coming. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get some frank opinions. That's next here in the program. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Soren Petro, with you here in Surprise, Arizona. Our spring training coverage brought to you by Sprint and Velocity Academy. velocityacademy.org, sprint.com to get your family signed up for the family plan. Like I have my family signed up with the Sprint family plan. Great option for you right there. The Aligns, very cost-effective. I am thrilled at the cost of my Sprint phone. It is the best value I got going. When I pay my bills, always happy to pay my Sprint bill because I get more bang for my buck on that than anything. Hear what I'm saying, KCP&L? Today's not the day. Ouch. Right? No, that's the gas. Kansas Gas is getting it done today. But in the summer, when I pay the KCP&L bill, I really want to slap the guy who runs KCP&L. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, Frank Bohl is with us. The godfather of Kansas City sports, and it's time for some frank opinions. Let's dance.
All right, true or false, it is absolute crap that John Sleaser will no longer have a job at the Kansas City Star. Yes or no?
Yes.
100%. I 100. Just heard he's taking, they're buying him out? Is that the deal?
Yeah, or? I think
he's one of about a half a dozen, six or seven.
Seven people, yeah.
55 years or older, 10 years or more at the Star, they offered buyouts to the people they were going to let
Steve go. Kraske, too, is a friend. It's a good guy as well. They're getting buyouts.
For all of them, listen, you know, I really want to start a website and just hire a lot of the people that have been cut around our industry because there are some tremendously talented people. That are out, and Sleaser is unbelievable. I mean, the photos, he is award-winning numerous times over and just an absolute stud, And, oh, by the way, a peach of a guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Love that guy. You know, see him, all the gear he carries around now to be, because now he's not just a photographer, he's a videographer and does all that. It's unbelievable. What he does and the work he does, it's absolutely crap.
Yeah, there's still some good guys in the business. David Hewlett is one of the best in the business, but John Sleaser's in a different room from anyone who's ever done it in this building and this city. 90-10, yes.
Well, the 10
can go bite me.
Yeah. Stop playing the game.
Right
now, immediately.
All right, our weekly check-in. Who wins the Big 12? Kansas State, Kansas, Texas Tech, Iowa State.
They're going to say Kansas.
I think Jayhawks, Jayhawk fans Kansas. Smell blood in the
yes,
water.
They do.
And they are Sharks. Ready to rock and roll. I think Kansas is going to win the day on this one. 40% is my guess.
54% said Kansas, 41% said Kansas State, 3% said Texas Tech, 2% sticking with the Clones.
Good. Me and two of Chris Beard fans voted. That's good to know.
Yeah. Listen, what a game that's going to be coming up. I hope both K-State and KU
I hope both the top of their game. That would be I just want – that would be great. Great showcase.
Although that game on Saturday, KU and Texas Tech is – I don't know how Rob's going to watch it.
It's huge.
With his child, Chris Beard, coaching one team, and then his alma mater, Kansas, on the other one. How are you going to do it, Rob?
Just happy. You know, like kids playing, like I'd be like the Harbaugh family when they were in the Super Bowl. Yeah. You can't lose.
Win-win.
Win-win.
That's great.
Well, K-State's
That's
really awful. Hoping Kansas. They goes down and they win. They'd like a two-game cushion Allen Fieldhouse.
Yes, they'd have it on them, but they wouldn't have it on Tech. Either way, they're going to be two up on one of them, and the other one's going to be right on their heels.
That's true.
Right. They don't play Tech, though, you know, for the rest of the year. K-State.
Right. Right, but they still got to – that's –
Yes,
want
I understand
title.
What you're talking about, yeah.
All right, who wins Big 12 Player of the Year? Barry Brown, Dedrick Lawson, Jarrett Culver.
It's going to come down to – I'll say it's going to be Dedrick Lawson.
I think it kind of depends
on – I think
on,
that's what the vote is going to be. I think Barry Brown should be at this point juncture.
I think Culver's stature in the mock drafts is going to gain him a lot of favor. I think if K-State wins the league, Brown will win it. I mean, not to just completely copy exactly what John Kurt said. But if K-State wins the league, I think Brown will win Player of the Year. I don't think Lawson's going to win it. I don't think he's going to win it. And I think it's just kind of a bias against Kansas that, you know, they've got so much talent. They got so many good guys, even though this is probably their least talented team in a while. I think that will work against him. That and the emergence of Abaji and the emergence of you know, Dotson, I think is kind of – he's not finishing as strong statistically. as he was early on. So I think Culver's going to be the answer. But I'll bet Brown wins the vote on this. Culver will win it in my mind, but my answer for the question is Brown.
Frank said Lawson. 53% said Barry Brown.
Woo, there you go.
21% said Lawson. Only 6% said Culver. It obviously the people who are voting, if they're the,
well, they're right.
If they're the same, if they're the same people, they don't think that it necessarily matters who wins because they pick Kansas to win the conference,
yeah,
but pick Barry Brown to win the Big 12 player of the year.
We know 10% of them can, you know, yeah, right, get
playing. Don't know what they're doing. There you go.
Will LeGerald Vick play for Kansas again? Yes or no?
No.
You know, I give up on that one. No,
that's
idea.
Not a, that is not an answer.
Well, no, it's up. Not. but I completely give up on it because I'm stunned that the man was on the roster this year to begin with. So I have no idea. I thought I had a good read on the situation and that Kansas wouldn't bring him back no matter what. And then he was back, and it's their prerogative, and I have no problem with it, giving a guy a chance to finish his education. I don't see anything villainistic in that. But it's been such a roller coaster. I literally have no idea. But I think the vote this way is going to go that he will not be back.
79-21, no. Would you pay $2,500 to watch a regular season college basketball game?
Never.
Which is what the Duke Carolina ticket's going for now. It's supposedly the cheapest ticket.
Yeah. Cheapest ticket from any ticket agency in the Carolina area is $2,500.
Never. Ever.
How good are the seats?
Well, let's just assume they're right at midcourt on the front row. Never.
Because you're
cheap.
You're cheap, Frank. I'm going to say no, they're not. The fans are going to say no. Hell no.
Okay. It is no. You guys want to play for an extra point and see who guesses the closest to the number?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Fine.
All right. I want. Can Rob just put me in his ear and I'll tell him my number so we don't play this Price is Right one over the other one?
I don't know if that's fair or not.
Sarita is now telling Rob the number.
That's fine.
He is down, so he will soon pop that back up. Rob, you have the number? You got the number? Okay.
All right.
Frank. So what's Frank's?
I'll say 76.
Ooh, okay. I went 91.
98.
Oh my God! I hate you.
I was worried.
I would have gone under though. You know that I would have gone under, so I'd have lost anyway.
2%.
I was worried at 91 that Frank was going to come in at like 93, and I was going to be screwed. I was like, oh, I should have gone higher. Oh, I should have gone higher. Nice.
Damn it.
Who will lead the Royals in wins in 2019? Brad Keller, Jacob Junis, Danny Duffy, or other?
Keller.
Well, you know, five starters. You assume it's going to be a starter, so the field is two guys. It's basically Kennedy and Lopez. They're not going to go there or unknown guy right now.
Right.
So who'd you say?
I said
Frank?
Keller. You're up two, by the way.
They're not going to go Duffy.
Nope.
Boy, they might go Junis, though. How many questions we got left, Curtis?
After this one, there will be three more.
All right.
Or
Salvi called Keller the number one, so I think Keller's going to actually win the vote.
35% said Jacob Junis.
Ooh,
30 said Duffy. 28 said Keller.
Oh, wow.
7
really?
Said other.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, those are intelligent answers, I think, because, you know, you're expecting a regression from the kid. So,
right.
Bravo. That's the smart program listeners out there. I like
right.
That
10% jump back on that we threw off earlier.
These are the good ones. Yeah. These are the good ones. Yeah.
All right. Who will lead the Royals in stolen bases in 29? Whit Merrifield, Adalberto Mondesi, Billy Hamilton, Terrence Gore.
Wit.
You know, my dream is for Witt to steal 50 bases this year and finish fourth on his own team, right? To have more stolen bases than he's ever had, and being the two-time American League stolen base king, you know, champion, defending, and to have more than he's ever had and then finish fourth. That's my dream Royals season.
With all that said,
Mondesi.
Okay, there you go. I said Witt.
43% said Adalberto Mondesi.
Jeez, I'm getting 39%
said Whit Merrifield. 15 said Hamilton. 3 said Terrence.
There's your dream scenario. Think how bad you'd look if I'd gone with Junis, because I was so close to going with Junis.
I was about to say, you're up 3 now, but nope, you're still up 3. Our last question.
Oh, boy.
In Harry Potter, do you know which one of Lord Voldemort's 7 Horcruxes was destroyed first? Yes or no?
Tom Riddle's diary. Yes.
This question was
you
written
do not
by...
know, Seren. You lose that when you beat me by 2. Honestly, we already know you do not know.
I still have no idea. I've heard him. I saw it get put up on the board. I've heard him mumble bumble around about it numerous times. I still have no idea what the hell he said was the answer. So I'll go ahead and just answer honestly. The listeners may be able to remember whatever he said. But if you're not in that universe, right, and I have not read that book at all. You know what? I almost puked on the ride at Universal Studios. That's my experience.
With Harry Potter.
And it's not that bad, but it's one of those like where it tips you and turns you, and there's all this video coming at you. But I the hotel had a really greasy breakfast, and I was like, whoa, when I got on the thing, and I honestly thought I was going to puke before the ride was over. And that's it. That's all the Harry Potter I got. They ride a broom. They play cribbage or some crap. And I know Harry Potter is a character, and that's it. And my kids have exorbitantly expensive fake wands that I had to buy. And this, they held me up with this, oh, the wand chooses you, and come on in here and look at the magic. And I was like, just give me the $50 wand times 2. Perfect. That's what I know about the Harry Potter universe. So, I have no freaking idea.
So, you'll say they're going to answer, the answer is no?
I've got enough of a lead that I'm just going to actually answer honestly based on what it is. I still have no idea what Rudy and Rob were babbling about.
Frank?
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say yes? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the most exposure I've had to the Harry Potter universe was the Lindsay Lohan SNL skit. That's the longest I've watched anything related to Harry Potter.
I've seen them all with Lauren. Read all the books.
I've watched that scene more than once.
If you have not seen that scene, it's when Lindsay Lohan was at her best before she's had some rough days and looks a little strung out and stuff. She was at her best wearing a low-cut top, and the gist of the Harry Potter skit was that she was the girl. What's her name, Rob?
Hermione Granger.
Yeah, Hermione, and that Hermione was supposed to still be like 9, and here she is, this chesty, well-endowed gal. Like, what's going on? I thought you were still just 9 years old. How the movies aren't really real accurate. Good skit. Good skit, by the way.
By the way, 71-29, no.
Thank you. God, Frank, what did I beat you by, like 11?
4.
Wow, that was a pummeling.
That was a drilling.
That was a pummeling.
I just wasn't in it today type, rolled my helmet out on the field game.
The snow, did the snow get to you, Frank?
Shut up. Okay, Arizona. Okay, you can complain about 45 degrees. Stop. Just stop.
Hey, listen, I've said it's good. It's good for me to sit and experience it because it makes me appreciate the guys that are out working in the elements more.
Yeah.
Because I know how big of a putz I am, how big of a wimp I am to be like, oh, God, my feet are cold on a day that, yes, you're right, I'm sitting out here and it was like 44 at some point. We're probably inching up towards 50 right now. We're in the upper 40s, I'd say. And it's not bad at all. So it's good for my hands and feet to be cold so I can, you know, have a better appreciation for the guys that work in real elements out there. But I will tell you, love to my guys at E. Edwards. Because my coat is rock solid. My gloves are rock solid. I just didn't bring my boots or my Carhartt bibs that I clearly needed for the early hours out here. when I'm on with the Border Patrol. That'd be great if I'm packing bibs for the Arizona for spring training next year. We'll take a break, find out how stupid I am in current events. What in the World, Seren, is next here in the program. All right, Frank, what in the world? What do you got for me?
All right, you were talking about Universal Studios, your Harry Potter ride. 16 yeah. passengers had to be rescued on a stranded gondola in what amusement park?
Ooh, geez. Knott's Berry Farm.
SeaWorld.
Oh, wow.
What entire state's teachers are on strike right now? Just went on strike.
Oh, sounds like something that happened in the South. I don't know, Louisiana?
West Virginia.
Okay.
There's now a petition circulating to sell what state to Canada for $1 trillion to ease the U.S. debt?
Montana.
Very good. There's one pulled out.
I figured
of
it had to border Canada.
All right. And how much snow have we had so far this year?
Well, Lezak was saying, didn't he say we need like 7 or 8 inches to get to his 26? So I'm going to say 23.
25.7. It's 29th overall.
Wow.
There we go, buddy.
Enjoy it, Frank.
Thanks.